Let's pray and then we're going to share a few words. Father God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence here. Father God, all we need is your presence. Thank you. You have come even to suffer. How much more would you ask when we get like this? Thank you for helping us share your word. Help me, help them. May your Holy Spirit just reveal even to them more than what I say. Become bless this time. We commit everything to you for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let me read 1 Peter. If you find, maybe, as I say, the scriptures have software there, if it's possible, you can put it there for them, but I will read it to you. Okay? The first one, what it read is, you know, as I was thinking, I'm more into teaching more, so becomes bigger and bigger and bigger for me, so way more time to get smaller, because make it shorter for this program, because all things is bigger. Because I was thinking, well, I can tell you, you know what I was thinking today? I thought that Christ today, another scripture, all the scriptures that I want to share with you, to discuss, to explain, whatever, how about if it's just, that's just so much, it's so rich, but you don't have time. That's not a bad habit, but it's just so life-giving, it's just so rich. Every time I come to it, I get something. Let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 1, I'll read from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. He has given us a new birth, being born again, give us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your salvation of yourselves, your souls. Concerning this salvation, I'm going to finish this one. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched it intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So, it's a long one. We're going to break it down quickly. We'll have two parts if we have time, otherwise we just do the part one and then we can do the part two another time. The first one is living hope. Trying to understand. Since we are born again. In the King James, he said, He caused us to be born again, a living hope. So, when we're born again, we're born again into something new. Remember the Nicodemus, that he was God. He said, how can I be born? Now, he's talking about a new birth. So, this new birth, Peter was telling us that it is into a living hope. What is this living hope? I was trying to understand. What is living hope? And the Bible actually interprets itself. And I try to see whatever it says, living God. For God is the God of the living and of the dead. I tried to read that whenever we use the living hope. What does living hope? You see, remember, I say, don't be afraid of those who would kill the body, side of the grave, but not, don't do nothing after that. Don't be afraid of them, but be afraid of him who can kill the body and also throw you into. So the living, every time in another place, God, the Sadducees, who doesn't believe on resurrection, they ask Jesus about how this resurrection is going to work. And in one place, he told them actually this. But God is the God of the living. God is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, the people are dead, but he called them the living. I'll summarize it. I'll make it. The living, whatever it says the living is, the one that doesn't die, like a living God, living hope. Hallelujah. This is the living hope. This hope works on this side of the grave and on the other side of the grave. I was listening when they were singing earlier. He was a king. Remember, I think Courtney was the one who was leading that song. He was a king. He was not a king over this side of eternity. He is the king of the other one. So when he gives us a living hope, what actually means is, let me tell you something. Every hope that you have on earth ends at the grave. Period. Right? You can have to have this one, you have to have the car, you have to have this, you have to have a child, you want to have something. You can have all kind of hopes you want, but at the grave. Nothing. Even if you owe somebody, you owe money, they can do nothing after you die. Everything stops. And I'm not going to go into that one, but I remember one time when Josh was very young, something happened to him. It was like fifth grade. I'm not going to tell the story. Nothing happened to him. But I was so afraid that something was going to happen to him. Going to the camp. And I don't know how to tell the details, but I have never seen myself like that. I could not believe I'm capable of thinking this. Still now I'm afraid of that moment. There are people who could cause that in my mind, that could cause problem for him. So the thought that was coming to my mind is not good. I said, that was just an Eastbrook coffee place. I said, he was about to go to a 3-day camp. And I just want to forget. I still want to so many years of trying to understand fully. But to a certain extent, I understand. Relates to this one. There is sometimes our children are our hope. Parents' savings are our hope. Our doctor's report, everything is clean. Not from God. I was so afraid before the report, and I was so praying and everything after the report. Around the moment I got the report, I don't have to worry about that, but I'm okay, clean. So my hope goes to some could be in my profession and other things. There's so much hope. So all those hopes start. And now the grave is the end of everything. I don't have to, I can't go further. You remember how Jesus came. I'm trying to understand how I can present this for you. This living hope, which is so different from the other things that we call hope, is, let me read one scripture. That will make it my point more clear. That will make help. Hebrews 6:16. And we'll come back to this, Peter. 16. It says, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what's saying and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchanging things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, where it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become our priest forever in honor of the Malchizedek. So this is what. So all hopes, you know, the hope that God gave when Adam fell. Go back to what I said. Remember in Genesis when God says, this is the way we understand it. God created us to share His life, right? Remember in Genesis said, God created the birds according to them. Somebody remember, according to them? I think my students will know that. Guys. Huh? Their kind. According to their kind. He created the animals according to their kind. He created this according to their kind. He finished everything according to their kind. And finally, when he was about to create man. All this resurrection doesn't make any sense if we don't understand from the beginning how God created man. So he created man in the image of God. He created him. And his purpose doesn't change. So when he created his image, why do you think he created it in his image? I was telling, I remember I gave Lydia one time an example of this one. You have a dog. And I said, you love your dog, right? Yeah. However you love your dog, there are things that you will never understand. Understand about the dog, and the dog will not understand it at all. People who have dogs probably may not be so excited about this example, but however you love your dog and the dog loves you, it's not going to be like a human. You're not their kind. You have to be their kind to understand. So, when God created this man in his image, he actually was making someone who can understand God, who can love God. But this eternal purpose is a big one. So it's not just like Jesus came because he doesn't want us to go to hell with these poor creatures. So, you know, I just go out and, I guess, just pay for the sins. No, he said, I come to do your will. That will is what he promised, that whatever he planned, it stands. So whatever, you know, it goes on. So what happened now is God, who was looking for a family for himself from the beginning, of course, humans and the Creator. Now, when he died, now, he gave hope again. So our hope is going to our purpose. Even though we use our the word hope, everything, for a lot of things, the living hope that he was talking about is going to our purpose, to our relationship with God, the way he created us. And I remember as I was coming here, I was looking. Remember when he finally, after he kicked them out, Adam and Eve, the sword and angel, right? So that they don't go to the. And I was wondering, what would have happened if they just went ahead and ate? But, you know, God doesn't want you to have that. So, he has to first pay the penalty, prepares us. So, let me go back to the Peter and state my point. Okay. Peter 1. So, he said, born again into a living hope. And this living hope, like we said, is a hope that lives, that doesn't stop, but it goes into the innermost, into the sanctuary that we have. So, and then this hope happens by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And then this being born again is also into an inheritance that doesn't fade or don't fear. So the other characteristic of this hope is it doesn't disappoint. Remember in Romans it says this hope doesn't disappoint. You can be disappointed about anything, but this hope that we have in Christ doesn't don't get disappointed. Says here, through faith, and then let me read again, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by the power of God until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. This is what God has done. He kept an inheritance for us, and he kept us for an inheritance, like for instance, I don't have that much money, but let's say Josh and Betty, let's say I have a lot of money. If I save money for them, as an example, any parent, okay? But if you put an inheritance for your children, but you didn't prepare children for the inheritance. That's not good. God says He prepared an inheritance, and He said we are kept by the power of God through faith for this inheritance. So God has prepared an inheritance. So what He did was He kept us, we're right on the course, by the power of God, but that power work is only through faith. And this faith, when it goes down, it says it's going to be tested, like you said, and in all these you greatly rejoice, though for a while you have had to suffer a grief of all kinds of trials. This comes to the proven, it talks about this faith that the people were going through suffering, and He was telling them that this faith is proven through the suffering that they're going through, and it's more worth than gold. And I was thinking about this, a few things I want to say. What is the most valuable thing for me in my life, I was thinking? The most valuable thing that I have. Let me read it for you. This suffering comes through to prove the genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold. So my faith, actually more than all my possessions, whatever you have, in the bank, whatever you have, all the possessions that you have, your faith is the most valuable thing that you have. Because your faith doesn't cross the grave. Faith, well, of eternal life. So he's telling them that this is, even though you're suffering a lot of things, he said this because it's trying to prove the genuineness of your faith, which is greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though you refine, but may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we are, but how does that happen? That happens, but we are kept by faith. So your faith is the most valuable thing, and then God keeps you by His power. It's not, we can't keep ourselves to this promise, to this hope that we have in Christ. God is the one who keeps us, but we stay in it by faith. And then it goes on concerning the salvation. There are two salvations that Peter was talking about here. One of them is the one that's coming, that's going to be revealed when Jesus comes. But there is another salvation that talks about receiving the salvation of your souls today. So I wanted to go to a point where I was trying to say was the resurrection of Jesus and its effect or its benefits or everything has two parts. One is for the coming age. That is, when we die, we actually, physically, when we die, the kingdom of God is on both sides. Remember when Jesus was asked by Pilate, he asked, are you a king? Yeah, I'm a king. I'm not from this world. Pilate, interesting, but if you see the story, it's more funny. He talked to Pilate more than to the priests. He was not answering that much to the priests. He was actually more talking with the Pilate. And he talked, I'm a king. We're seeing earlier today, Christ is the king. He has a kingdom. And it's only His kingdom that spans this side of eternity and the other side. You pass from this to this, you are still in Him. Nothing changes. When you are in Him, you are actually, that's the hope. The kingdom, we can't see the kingdom of God. So to summarize what I was saying, you can't see the kingdom of God without being born again. Remember, right? You can't see the kingdom of God without being born again. And not being born again without the resurrection of Christ. There was telling us, you were born into this living hope. How? By the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is the one, He quickened us, the Bible says in many places, if we have time we'll go there, He raised us up with Christ. So, going to the next point that I was trying to make is, this is not only for this life. Some people were saying, there's no resurrection, so he said that if we hope only in Christ, only for this life, we have to be pitied of many people. with us sometimes. In our Christian life, we forget the glory to come, the salvation that's supposed to, that's going to be revealed when Christ comes. We forget that one. We're so busy with ourselves. We want to pray, God. You remember when kids pray? Anytime. It could be about food. It could be anything. You'll pray the same thing. Oh, help us. Protect us. Good. Do this for us. And we ourselves also, because of our busyness, we don't really think about the big salvation that's coming. So there is a salvation that we get, but there is a salvation that will come, which is the redemption of our body, the Bible talks about. So some people focus, sometimes we focus only, we hope in Christ only to fix things on this side. That would be just following Christ for our convenience, for our comfort. Minimize life here. We just follow you, following me because you have faith. And other times we become so spiritual that we think about the whole, the future, and we are good almost for nothing here. And that reminds me of the talents. You remember God gave talents? 5, 2, and 1. And one who had one, what did he do? He buried it, right? Then he gave him the same thing after so many times. So the power of resurrection is not just for the future to raise us from the dead. That is for that. But it's also, the power of resurrection is for today to live a victorious life, a productive life. God doesn't want us to walk around a defeated. That doesn't represent the resurrection power. The resurrection power is not just for the coming salvation, but also to demonstrate his love here. So hope for the future, and also to reign in life here on earth, where death reigns. Remember, he says, death always reigns all around us. But those who receive abundance of grace, life, not there, here, reigning in life is through the power of the resurrection. So I want to say a few things, and I will just summarize this thing for you. So one thing is this, I'm trying to study this living hope, the glories of that. Many places in Ephesians, in Colossians, he talks about that he prays to them that your eyes be opened, that you may see glorious riches of the inheritance in his sent. So he wants them to understand. So the only way we understand this hope is that we need to pray. We just, like, because we're Christians, that doesn't mean we understand all the spiritual things, but we pray that our eyes be open, that we may know this richness, this hope that we have in Christ. Okay, the second part that I was going to mention today was about our unity with Christ. Many times, Resurrection Sunday comes, we think about Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, the Bible tells us so many times that we rose with him too. Actually celebrating his resurrection. And through him, we are also resurrected. Okay, let me read a few scriptures. Remember Ephesians 2? Let me go quickly. Okay, to save time. Because I have a communion too, I'm trying to remember. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead, transgression by the grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us in heavenly place. By the way, you're not raised. Bible, many places in Colossians, in Ephesians, you can see. Let me read. You can go and read it yourself in Ephesians chapter 2, where I read for you, verse 6, Colossians chapter 2, 20. Colossians says, like, since you died with Christ. Don't think about the things that are on earth, but think about the things in heaven. And it says about you have been raised, Colossians 3:11, for you died and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, your life is revealed. The Romans 6:1 says, don't you know that your old man is crucified with Christ? So all these things, a lot of scriptures were showing us that we were crucified. The old man was crucified with Christ. And God, when God raises Christ from the dead, he also raises us. You see that with Christ, he raised us. and lift us up, all those kind of things. So so in these times, sometimes when he comes, I like lately, this is what I really enjoy my unity with Christ. You know, this is almost where I am right now in my things. The more I think about it, the more my steps in Christ is actually my unity. In everything that I do, I don't want to see myself separate from Him, because the Bible doesn't tell me to do that. So when we celebrate even resurrection, He did it for us. He put our sins on Him, but the sin cannot overcome Him because He is sinless. You remember what He said about sin? He said it is impossible for death to hold Him, right? You remember? It's impossible for death to hold Him. Because He said, remember that the sting of death is sin. He is sinless. He's without sin. He carried our sin. So He overcome that one. But in any case, whatever He does, though, every step of the thing, His suffering, His resurrection, His coming again, all those kind of things line up, of course, in parallel from what joy. Okay. So, I want to summarize this thing for you. I could have. Okay. So, we, just like as we said, we have this living hope. This living hope, what makes it living, is just like a living God. It crosses. It's a kingdom based on God's kingdom that crosses the border of the grave. And this hope doesn't disappoint us. And we are kept for our inheritance. That this inheritance is kept for us in heaven. And God is keeping us by His power for that inheritance. And for this, we have to be born again. But we're born again because of the resurrection of Christ. And I don't want to take too much time because I have these verses that I mentioned to you, that our unity with Christ in death and resurrection, it is the big thing that really holds my heart. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my name. my heart.